there. Great day, everyone. So May 25th, 2020 changed so many of us. It was the day that George Floyd was killed. And for many of us, we mourned, we activated, we advocated, a lot happened. It was an inflection point for us. And you know what? So many companies in corporate America seemed to rise up and answer the call. They made statements about the importance of DEIB. They started implementing leadership roles. They added budgets and so much more. It was very encouraging. So fast forward to today, and some say that we need to be paying attention to diversity ditching. So what's diversity ditching? It is a growing concern that organizations are pulling back. They believe they fixed their DEIB challenges, and now they are reducing those budgets and eliminating those leadership positions. We're going to dive in, and we're going to break it all down today. Where are we? What does commitment to an inclusive culture really look like? Let's talk about it more as you join us and we prepare to lead above the grind. Let's get started. Great day, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Coffee with Rhonda Show. We are your cup of inspiration, revelation, and wit for today's savvy for season 9. This is episode 102, and we're going to have a fantastic conversation for you today. Before we get started, you know the drill. If you've been with us before, I want you to stop right now. Whatever you're doing, like and share this video. I promise you there is someone out there who wants to hear it. Also, we would love for you to subscribe to our YouTube channel as we continue to grow it. And you can do that very easily at coffeewithrhondashow.com. So with all of that being said, we're going to dive right in. My name is Rhonda Y. Williams, and I'm your host for the show. And I call myself an RSOL, or a recovering stressed out leader. Today, I advocate a more well-balanced approach to leadership that really includes creating inclusive, holistic cultures for everyone. At Above the Grind Leadership, we really focus on helping leaders lead above the grind and create those cultures that I like to call a modern magnetic culture. It's a place where everyone can thrive. If you want to learn more about the work that I do in the world, you can visit atgleadership.com. So that's me. And today I have my cup, and I decided to go ahead and, you know what, I'm gonna lead above the grind today, because we might need something a little bit stronger in this cup as we get into this conversation. So we're going to dive in, and let's introduce our co-host for today, and Ms. Marae Tulakima. Let's start with you. Good morning. Good evening to you.
Good morning to you on the other side. It's evening on my side, and I'm always so happy to be here. My name is Marae, the greatness engineer. I'm all about greatness, and I particularly focus on women in male-dominated environment. I help them to get the visibility that they need and to help them to go to the next level of their greatness. And today I'm drinking ginger tea. So just to keep me awake. So welcome, everyone.
Nice ginger tea. Thank you so much, Marae. And Roz, good day to you.
Hello, everyone. I am Roz Jones. I'm located here in the sunny state of Jacksonville, Florida. And I'm the CEO and owner of Jacksonville's Best Caregivers, where we help expand the life of your loved one. Why do I do it? I do it to help the caregiver to reduce that SOS on their journey, which is being stressed, overwhelm, and providing safety and security. When you can't do it all, you give us a call.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Roz. And I am really excited to introduce our special guest for today. I'm going to read just a brief bit about Shawnee, and then we will ask her to share with us anything we left out and share what she has in her cup. So Shawnee Delamora Barracks is a diversity, equity, and inclusion practitioner with more than 25 years of practical experience in organizational culture change, training and development, strategic planning and execution, and coalition and capacity building. Love that. She serves as principal of Aurora Change Agency, a consulting firm partnering with organizations to create intentionally inclusive and humane cultures characterized by psychological safety, self-inquiry, and the freedom to innovate. Shawnee, we are super excited to welcome you to our coffee table today. Hello, tell us where you're joining us from. Anything we left out, feel free to add. And then tell us about what you have in your cup.
Okay. Well, again, Shawnee Delamore Barracks, my pronouns she, her, hers. I am coming from outside of Dallas, Texas. By way of North Carolina. I'm from North Carolina. I'm not from Texas. I just want to say that. And I am drinking this morning just water. I've already had two and a half cups of coffee, and you don't want me to have any more coffee. So I'm drinking water out of my Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated cup.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Shawnee. It's great. And you pronounce it Shawnee.
So I'm half Caribbean. You know, my family's from St. Vincent. You probably see that. I'm back there. Caribbean folks say Shawnee, but I'm from North Kakalaki. I say Shawnee. I answer both.
Awesome. Awesome.
French-speaking people say Shawnee as well. So that's good.
Well, and it's Swahili. My name is Swahili. It means marvelous unexpected event. So. Never know.
Wait, say that again. We missed. What does it mean?
It means marvelous, unexpected event in Swahili.
Well, aren't you marvelous, dear?
Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. So let's get started. I know this is going to be a good one. God, we've got some great conversation already happening. I want to say good morning to everyone out there. If you're out there watching, don't forget, this is an interactive show. You are powering our conversation, and you might even get us to go down a rabbit hole, depending on what you put in those comments. So keep them coming. And we want to say good morning to you and tell us where you're calling or watching from and what you have in your cup. So first up, we've got Teresita. Teresita, good morning. And same as Bria, she only got 3 hours of sleep, but still I rise. Absolutely.
Teresita and I worked together in the trenches at the University of North Texas in our division, which has been disbanded, you know, in here in Texas. Again, I'm not from here. They've decided that DEI, anything DEI at any public institutions should be dissolved. And they just dissolved our former division, which kind of shows you why we need to have these conversations, right?
Exactly.
Our work was nowhere near to being done, but we were making people too uncomfortable. So got canned.
Wow.
So hey, Teresita, she is my partner in progress.
That is awesome. And, you know, that does show why we need to have this conversation. And speaking of diversity ditching, it's happening actually on a really, really big scale, very public as well. So Kristen is out there. Hi, Kristen. I do some work with Kristen. It's great to see you out there. Good morning. Good morning. Mindy is out there. Hey, Mindy, great to see you again. She says, good morning. Excited to hear the conversation. And then Teresita earlier had said, hey,
Shawnee.
We also have Janine out there, and she says, hi, everyone. Hello to you. Benjamin is out there. Uh-oh. You've got a fan club, Shawnee. That is awesome. And then we have Teresita, who said, Benjamin Dawson, thanks, Ben, you as well. Christopher Andrade is out there. Hello, my friend. It's great to see you this morning, all the way from Phoenix. And then mom is there. Good morning. Waiting here with a frosty kiwi strawberry slush. You go, mom. That sounds delicious. Kristen has ginger tea in her cup. So more ginger tea going around. And then Janine said, Marae Chilaquina smells good. I think she's talking about your tea. Not that you smell, not that you don't smell good, Marae, but I think she's talking about your tea. I can see this is going to be a live one, folks. So John is out there. John Mayfield. Good morning, John.
These are all my UNT people.
I see.
Shizzy.
So fabulous for them to join and support. And Gerard is out there also. So, and then we have Marie out there, and she says currently in the south of France. So fantastic. Ooh. All right, y'all, we're going to dive in. We're going to have a live one this morning. So I want to get started this morning with, I ask all of our guests to submit a quote to us, something that speaks to them, something that's relevant to our conversation. And so I'm going to share the one that Shani shared with us, and then we're going to talk about it on the other side. We'll talk about, you know, sort of why this quote and why this one is particularly relevant now. So we'll be right back. Listening later on audio or form, it says, without struggle, there is no progress. Power achieves nothing without demand. And this is a quote by Frederick Douglass. So, Shani, tell us why this quote. I love the quote. I think it really speaks to what we're going to discuss today. Mm. Why this quote for you?
Yeah. So, without struggle, there is no progress. Power concedes nothing without demand. This is why my sort of tagline is to progress, because I feel like this work is pushing up against these structures of privilege and supremacy and willful oblivion and all the things that impede this work. But the reality is nothing has ever come easily in this work. You know, we've been pushing back since we got here 400 years ago on boats. And unfortunately, the work is still there. So it reminds me when I really start getting discouraged that struggle is to be expected, and that if you stay the course and if you are clear about where you're trying to end up and you understand what the original destination is and what the destination that you're going to looks like, right? And we'll talk a little bit about that, I'm sure. Then you remind yourself that there's going to be struggle. And when it comes to power concedes nothing without demand, I think one of the key features of those of us that do this work is that you have to be able to work with leaders and convince them that this work is important and that they have to be part of it. I always start with leaders, or if I don't start with them, whenever I do work with my clients, I try to make sure that they are also part of the process of engagement and learning and development. Because as we all know, as leaders, if you've just got these efforts happening on the ground without leadership support, it's probably not going to be as successful. So yeah, there's struggle, there's progress, there's power and privilege, but the progress has got it. You got to believe progress can be made. And for me, sometimes I have to remind myself of that when things like, you know, diversity and inclusion divisions are being disbanded because of white fragility.
Yeah. So you said so much there, Shani, and I want to go to our co-hosts and talk to them about something that you said specifically, which is struggle is to be expected, mm-hmm. right? Struggle is to be expected. We tend to want to pull back when we face resistance, right? When we start hitting that wall, our tendency is to pull back as a self-protecting mechanism. But if we expect it, we approach it differently. So Marae, Shani says struggle is to be expected. What do you say? Especially in this, I want to talk about, especially in the context of this work.
Right. Yeah, I think it's, you know, struggle is always to be expected. And you know, as soon as you want to go forward, as soon as you want to grow, there's always some resistance that you have to go through. It's not always an easy, you know, an easy road. And so we need to condition ourselves to really, you know, understand that the struggle are going to come. It might come easy at the beginning, but somewhere in, you know, in the journey, there's going to be struggle, and we have to be ready. We have to be ready to be resilient. We have to be ready to keep pushing. We have to be ready to, you know, to fall and come back. And really, you know, have this strength, knowing that at the end of the, you know, at the end of the tunnel, we will actually have something, but we have to keep pushing. And I think that's been, you know, talking about my own experience working with, you know, in a male dominated environment. It has been a struggle, because, you know, you have to really, you know, come educate people, really get them to understand who you are, how you function, and how they can actually connect with you, and how beneficial it's going to be for them and for the community or for the team to be able to really, you know, get through this, you know, a barrier and this ceiling or whatever we call it, you know, and that's very important.
I love that, Marae. It is an educational process, mm-hmm. Roz. And so when we talk about struggle is to be expected, it really reminds me of every aspect of your life, right? Mm-hmm. And this is no different. Mm-hmm. Whenever we start pushing in a different direction, you know, that expectation is there. So Roz, how do you see this playing out, particularly as we're talking about making cultures that are more inclusive and welcoming for all?
To me, as I listen to everybody else, if we're not struggling, we're not learning.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then as a part of that struggle, as we learn, then the struggle should decrease. It should be less. Mm-hmm. It should be. Mm-hmm. Because once I find out something from both sides, then I can say, okay, now I am empowered to do better. Mm-hmm. But you're going to get the same results if mm-hmm. you don't have the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. so this is where, you know, DEI comes in, because that's the strategy to eliminate the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
This is just Roz Jones' opinion.
Mm-hmm.
This is just me talking. So, you know, we have to embrace it. People don't. Change and struggle is the same thing. We got to embrace it. It's something different, but we learn from it. Just like a mistake. A mistake is a struggle. Mm-hmm. We have to learn and we have to move forward. If they get rid of this, they're turning back the hands of time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a, you know, I don't know if that's a political statement or whatever.
Oh no, that's a fact.
Right. If we get rid of this, then we're turning back the hands of time by hundreds of years.
Yep.
And that's not what the United States is supposed to be about. Mm-hmm. We've always, mm-hmm. you know, that's why we have immigrants come in. That's why we have different people come in, because of the diversity. And mm-hmm. all of this diversity is the reason why America can go so far. It's because we're ahead of other countries. It's because of the different people that we have. If we cut that off, then we cut off progress. And let me stop. Thank you.
I want to say, Roz, you just dropped the mic. And I want to say something about, I want to say something you just said, talking about struggle, and that with struggle comes growth. Mm-hmm. Whenever I work with clients, I use these principles of engagement, and because I don't like calling them ground rules. Mm-hmm. Just how do we engage in the space talking about these topics? And one of the things that we always say is to expect cognitive dissonance.
Mm-hmm.
And cognitive dissonance is when old ideas bump up against new ideas and you're going to feel uncomfortable. But I think where we are in this work, and you know, it's something I call the disease of dis-ease, that people are so uncomfortable. Well, let me be clear. White people are so uncomfortable with being uncomfortable that they would rather And I'm not trying to make any sweeping generalizations, but if we're going to talk about this work, we have to talk about race, right? And the role of white supremacy in this country and the way that everything that's happening is absolutely rooted in white supremacy. And that's why they don't want us to talk about it, because once you know it's there, you can't unsee it, right? And so it's you know, one of the other things that I often say is that white fragility is a plague upon our nation. People don't want to feel uncomfortable. And so that's why they're making these sweeping changes to just get things going away. And they know that by not being intentional about it, it's going to get worse. So
yeah,
it's a really dire time right now.
It really is dire. And I want to go back to a couple of things because we've got some amazing conversation happening. So Marie says, historically, all societal change has come following conflict, struggle, and resistance as foundational for progress. So while it feels bad, while it feels hard, it is a part of the growth and evolutionary process. Now, Justin actually has an amazing question here. Justin says, why, in your opinion, is accessibility often left out of DEIB as we are in a digital world? Most of the digital world is not accessible to people with disabilities. Well, and so, I want to toss this to you so that you can respond to his question.
So I will say it's not that it's not a focus. As a DEI practitioner, you know, we are considered with gender, race, religion, age, ability, sexual orientation, socioeconomic status, and all of that. I think, though, and I've been doing this since the 90s, that race specifically, not ethnicity, because race and ethnicity are two different things. Race is the one thing people don't want to talk about. So I make sure in my work that we're not going to make a beeline to all of these other things, because I can't tell you how many times when I'm facilitating conversations, even when they're supposed to be about race, someone will make a beeline to something else. And so I am committed in my work to making sure that race, not ethnicity, race is at the foundation of a lot of these conversations. Because here's my logic. If you can talk about race and if you can make changes about things related to supremacy and race, you can apply that to anything. Because that is the hardest topic for people to address. So I would say it's not a zero-sum game, but I do use race as a proxy for that cognitive dissonance, and so that people can feel uncomfortable, because you got to get used to feeling uncomfortable if you're going to address any of this work.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think that one of the challenges that we have, back to Justin's point, is the wider the field gets, the more we sort of lose the effectiveness of it, right? So it's because when we start bringing all of these individual sort of aspects of a diverse team into play, then people get overwhelmed and they're like, well, we can't do it all. So let's just not do anything. Let's just leave it alone. It's fine. And I think if you can, as you said, Shani, if you can start with the hard thing,
that's right.
If you can do the hard thing, then everything else becomes easier. I also think it helps us be more sensitive to accessibility and other things when we can speak in this hard in this way. I do agree with this also, Justin. We are in the digital world, and we have to get much more conscious of making sure that we are putting out accessible systems and processes and services that can support all. So thank you for that great question. So Kristen said, so true, diversity and education are improving our culture and companies. And then Gerard said, some people's zone of proximal development is very, very limited, that they resist any change. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to something I always say, and I'm going to get Marae, I want to get you and Roz and Shani to react to this. We condition ourselves from the time that we are itty bitty, mm-hmm. from the time that we are this small, mm-hmm. we condition ourselves to avoid discomfort, right? Yeah. What happens when your child falls and scrapes their knee? Oh my gosh, I got to make it better. It can't hurt. You can't possibly, well, yes, you can, because you hurt it, right? You hurt yourself and give it a little bit and it'll go away and it'll be fine and you're still going to live and the sun's going to come up tomorrow. But instead, we condition to eliminate anything that feels uncomfortable must be bad. So as a child, that's the connection we make. That's a psychological connection embedded in us. If it feels uncomfortable, it must be bad. We've got to change that. So I'm going to go to you, Marae, and get your response on that. And I'll swing back around to everyone.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to, you know, going out of our comfort zone as well, because, you know, we are very resistant to do that. We really, you know, have, like you said, we are conditioned and we just want to stay in those boundaries because we don't want to suffer. We don't want to be looked at differently. We want to fit somewhere. And that's really the, you know, the blockage. And we need to know, especially in this time of, you know, looking at diversity, to unlearn things. And really understand that, you know, by unlearning certain things and replacing, you know, having this idea that it's a dynamic process, mm-hmm. then we can actually progress and we can actually embrace diversity because it's not something that is static at all. You know, the diversity is really dynamic. It's not something static, you know. You learn certain things, they serve you for a certain period, and then you'll go to the next level and learn them and then bring something new so that you can grow as an individual and really start to embrace, you know, the changes and really stop being scared of what, you know, what you don't know or what making you uncomfortable.
I love that because mm-hmm. It is not static. What a great mm-hmm. way to describe that, Marae. Gerard mm-hmm. has a great point here. He says DEI work should be anti-oppressive and intersectional, and that would include disability, justice, and inclusion. And the reality is that often anti-racist practices will have benefits across the spectrum. Exactly what we're saying here is that, you know, we should not be looking to fix this one thing, right? Mm-hmm. This is a thing and I'm going to fix it. But that's what we do in companies, Roz. I mean, we look to fix this one thing and we get uncomfortable if it's not moving fast enough and then we go away from it.
Our brain doesn't recognize change like we recognize a decision. Mm-hmm. It's you know, we can make a decision, but if it's talking about change, our brain is not gonna pick it up. However, when we are in a recovery process, that's change.
That's right.
So the things that we are talking about is that we are recovering. We are recovering something that was not correct, that had never been corrected. So in that recovery process is the change. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, if our leg is broken, we go through that recovery process. If our car gets in an accident, we go through the recovery process, the insurance, you know, mm-hmm. all of this. So we have to understand that we have to recover those things and we have to make the changes, even mm-hmm. though it may feel uncomfortable. But then at the end of it, what is the return on the investment? That means that we're producing more. You know, there's less conflict and chaos.
Innovation. Chaos is,
right? Just look at all the chaos that's going on in Washington, D.C. Because we just don't want to embrace differences. And let me hush. Thank you.
I love this conversation. This is really, really deep. So Justin says, tech offshoring should also go to Africa. A lot of people have to move from Africa just to get into tech because it's not available to them. Absolutely, Justin. And thank you so much for your engagement. It is absolutely fabulous. Kristen says, addressing biases, developing inclusive processes, policies, and fostering a culture of belonging. And this is what I want to go to. And we're going to take a 2-minute commercial break. We're going to do the commercial. When we come back, Shani, I want to talk about where are we going with this, right? Where are we going? And are we in that phase of evolving this work? You know, I believe everything has stages and phases. right? Mm-hmm. And when we started, and after George Floyd, we all got into this go, go, go phase. And now we're in this pullback phase. Is this a symptom of the evolving of this work? And if so, just give some thoughts on, you know, maybe how we should be directing it at this point, kind of moving forward. So
can I say something, Rhonda, about the last quote before we go to break? Just really quick. One of the quotes that was made about intersectionality and anti-racism, two things. The first is that a rising tide lifts all boats. And, mm-hmm. and he really mentioned that, that what you do for one group can then be transposed to another group. So yes, while all of these other identities are relevant, you got to start somewhere and use that progress as a proxy for other progress. The second thing is that Roz made a really good point. All of you were essentially talking about socialization, cycles mm-hmm. of socialization, and that we're socialized to not want to embrace change. But there's also a cycle of liberation that can be used to start having these kinds of conversations that start with this aha waking up moment where you realize how and why all of these things are so relevant. And then you start leaning into discomfort. So I just wanted to say that because that is a really critical point to this discussion, is that this is not a zero sum game. And I think a lot of times people will say, well, what about this? Well, what about this? Because they don't want to be uncomfortable talking about the really hard stuff. So I just wanted to say that before we left, because I thought that was a really important point.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for highlighting that. We're going to take a 2-minute break and then we will be back. And we're going to talk more about where we're headed in this work. Is this an inflection and evolving point for us, and what's next? And I also want to talk about Shani's formula, because you've got this cool formula that you use and about being. And we're going to dive into that as well.
The demands, pressures, and vital responsibilities of modern leaders are unprecedented. The relentless pace of organizational transformation, shifting workforce dynamics, and the distress of ever-heightened visibility can deaden the crucial need for renewal, self-trust, and growth that is essential to their success and that of every organization. Because the need for renewal and self-empowerment is dire, we urge you to join us for the next Leadership Accelerator cohort, wherein leaders gain the skills and winning habits enabling them to rise, be greater than their challenges, and master their leadership journey. A haven for leadership ascension, growth, impact, and support, our stimulating, always rewarding discussions deliver a brain trust of thought diversity contributed by a wide-ranging talent pool of influencers, leaders, and influential professionals from every continent. Our expert trainers and coaches summon and deliver combined decades of experience and success, guiding participants upward, enhancing communication skills, nimble responsiveness, expanding confidence, and navigating conflicts with ease. This is a strategic growth process, a practical science, not a theory. Each cohort tackles real-world leadership challenges, applying modern leadership concepts that aid in career course correction and sharing the uncommon goal of creating more aware, self-directed, and visionary leaders. Please take advantage of this truly unparalleled opportunity to forge lasting connections with bold, mentor-minded leaders. Experience the advantages of advanced insights, support, and an expanded global network. Immersion in the Leadership Accelerator cohort is a transformative experience designed and delivered to clarify, reshape, and lift any leadership journey. Join the Leadership Accelerator cohort today and ignite a path of aware, modern leadership that cultivates well-being and high-impact performance.
All right, we're back, everybody. So if you or anyone on your team is interested in joining the leadership cohort, contact me directly. I am absolutely committed to helping leaders really create the life that they love and the environment and culture where people can thrive. You can call me directly at 469-579-1788. And don't forget to ask me about our 200% money back guarantee, because it is a game changer. All right. Back to our discussion, because I'm so excited about really diving more into this. And Shani, I want to know, Where are we going? Because I kind of thought I knew where we were going when we started, when we sort of started all of this and everybody jumped on board and everything was great, right? But I really want to know where we're going. Before you respond to that, just a couple of comments out there. Teresita says oppression Olympics. Oh, wow, what a term. And then Kristen says,
explain what that is. I can explain what that is in a minute.
Yes, yes, yes. One second. Let me go through a couple of these and then let's come back and explain to us what Oppression Olympics is as you move into directing us into the future. Kristen says, people stay in their comfort zone to avoid feelings of anxiety or stress. Yes. And you know what, Kristen? That's actually what change is. So we should not be staying in that place where we're not experiencing growth. Curiosity is about recognizing and seeking out new information and experiences. Love this. And hey there, it's great to see you, Eddie Gone. He says, spot on. It's so great. He says, I am love this amazing season. Thank you. And Mom says that Leadership Acceleration Cohort commercial is so inspiring. Thank you, Mom. I sure appreciate that. All right. So Shani, tell us what Oppression Olympics is and then talk to us about where we might be headed with this work.
Sure. So Oppression Olympics is when, and this, I'll just be very frank. I feel like I have experienced more so when I am talking about race and someone says, well, I had it bad too, or it's just like this, you know, as a woman, happens all the time. If I'm talking about race specifically, and I'll just say with white women, then all of a sudden it's, oh, well, I know that because I have it really bad as a woman. And it's very difficult for people to just sit in the space of what we're talking about now. And then it's also the what about me-ism, right? I think a lot of times people feel as if we're focusing on one element of DEI, then we're forsaking another. And I'll be honest, that's often the case, but it is race that gets forsaken. So I am just committed to making sure, because no one wants to talk about race, that those Oppression Olympics are averted because we're really focused on the one thing that's gonna potentially affect the rest of those things. So where are we going? One of the things that I often say is that you really need to replace passion, or at least add proficiency to your passion, right? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of folks that are passionate about this work, but don't really have any experience doing it. And one example that I thought about, being here in Texas, I am not a big football fan, but obviously there are lots of Dallas Cowboys fans out there. So I guess if I was going to be a football fan, maybe it would be Dallas Cowboys. And Cowboys fans are very committed. That's an understatement. However,
Listen, as an Eagles fan, as a very committed Eagles fan, I get it, because I fight with the Cowboys fans all the time. But that's okay. That's a different conversation.
So I'll say this. Just because you are passionate about something, just because you love football, doesn't mean you know how to play or coach. And I think diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging is the one thing that anybody thinks they can do. Without any training, without any guidance, it's, well, we'll just go on gut. But here's the real talk. If you don't have a seasoned, trained, competent DEIB practitioner at the helm, your efforts that are often led by committees, and sometimes these committees are populated with folks, quite frankly, who may unwittingly be part of the problem. So what I always say to people is, do not do this work without getting the proper development, training, awareness, et cetera. And a lot of these efforts are usually under-resourced, underfunded, under, right? So the first thing is, find a professional who has demonstrated experience so that your efforts are not being led by people who just love the Cowboys, right?
Okay.
But so, don't know how to play.
Shani, so stop right there for a minute because you have hit on something that I feel very, very strongly about. And sitting on the other side of this work, this happens to me quite frequently. I am an executive coach. I am a leadership specialist. I do leadership and cultural transformation domestically and internationally. I am not a DEIB practitioner. Please stop asking me, can I do DEIB sessions? That is not my, I know that I'm Black, but that is not my area of expertise. And I might get up there and say something a little bit crazy. Now I've you know, sort of dipped my toe in it, but I am not an expert in that work. So when you say find someone competent and proficient at doing this work, that means of all colors, of all races, right?
Right. Of all sexual orientations, of all, but don't assume, and this is triggering for me because it's so disrespectful to me as someone who's been doing this work for so long. Don't assume that because a person is a person of color, has a disability, is a member of the queer and trans community, that just because they have lived experience with oppression and discrimination means that they know how to be a diversity, equity, and inclusion practitioner. It's one thing to say, tell me about your experience. I want to learn from you on an interpersonal level how identity makes a difference in your life. And to Teresita's point, there's a formula that you mentioned. I was like, what formula is she talking about? I don't know what she's talking about. But this is a sticky that I keep near my computer because I always have to go back to this. And sometimes I just hold it up very slowly. Being and doing. So most people doing this work want to jump directly to the doing. And it's usually the ones that don't have the proficiency because they don't understand that you have to first focus on, I use an intrapersonal, interpersonal, and organizational framework. So the intrapersonal means holding up the mirror to yourself, engaging in some cultural humility, engaging in some identity-based self-reflection before you skip to the doing, right? Because the doing is, oh, we got to look busy and like we're doing something. But it goes back to what we were saying about discomfort. In order to do this work from a place of competence, you first have to understand the role of identity in your own life. Multiple identities, gender, race, religion, all of those things, ability, all of those things. What's the role of identity in your lived experience? So that's the intrapersonal. Interpersonal, how does your identity affect your interactions with other people and your interpretations of experiences, people, places, things, all the things? Because the reality is identity influences our interpretations. And then you have to stay in that interpersonal space and learning how to speak to each other and even just talking about this work without wringing your hands, then you can get to the organizational. But if you skip to the organizational and you've got a group full of people that are well-meaning but completely uninformed, they're actually going to do more harm because here's what's going to happen. Leadership, the organization is going to be like, well, we tried that. It didn't work. So, you know, we're done now. But you essentially hired people who don't know how to play football or coach to be on a team that you expect to win Super Bowl.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Shani, so much. So let me come to Roz. Roz, you're...
Did that hit you, Roz? Did that hit you?
Oh, Roz.
Mighty God, when she said, are you well-meaning but completely uninformed? I have to come to caregiving on that one. I had a family that came to me and said, oh, we don't need any caregivers. I'm a good caregiver because I sit with my mom every day. But I said, as your mom's disease progresses, you're going to need someone like me because she has Alzheimer's. So it's best to get someone in here now before the disease declines. Okay. So you think you know about caregiving, but when it's time to get into them cracks and crevices and do all that lifting and washing, are you going to do it, Sugar? Same thing here. Okay. I'm not a DEI expert. I'm not a leadership expert. So I go to Rhonda. That engineering stuff, I go to Murray. You know what I'm saying? I stay in my lane. If I don't know it, I ain't going to do it because I'll do more damage to the people. I will do more damage. And that's why I was trying to explain to this biscuit head, you know, the family, that you're going to do more damage by not letting us come in now, because when it's time to come in, they're going to be resistant. The same thing with DEI. If you don't come in at the root, when it's time for things to really start, when it's time for you to evolve and to go to that next, you can't because you're stuck in the past. I'm Ross Jones, and I'm done speaking.
Honey, you just dropped the mic. And what you described is what I call, and Teresita will probably say this with me in unison, delusions of theirness.
Oh, say that again.
Delusions of theirness.
Of theirness.
You think you're there, of being there. Whatever the there is, Roz. So in your case, it would be, oh, I know how to do this. You know, you think you're there. And so those delusions of being there, being competent, feeling like you know what you're doing are absolutely positively reckless, right? Mm-hmm. That also goes for those folks who just recently came on the scene calling themselves DEIB experts and practitioners. I have been doing this work since the last century, and I don't call myself an expert. This work is grounded in humility. And the reason I say that is because this work is people focused, there's no way that I'm ever gonna know every single person. Every time I do any kind of engagement, I was in Washington State last week working with marine biologists, and their perspectives and the way they apply it is markedly different, right, than the perspectives. And, you know, I work with engineers a lot. You know, I work a lot of folks in STEM. And so you have to really think about, again, what is point A? Do a thorough assessment of point A. What do you want point Z to be? And another one of the things that I love, 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 and guides a lot of my work is the process is the product. I don't know who coined that term, but I use it all the time. That if you are not engaging in the process of evaluating your own being, and you want to just go to the doing, may I offer, and it's just the case, that is a very supremacist-based way of looking at things, because I'll just say this. I was in a situation once where I was talking to leadership, and Teresita probably remembers this, talking to leadership about how and why they needed to engage in this work. Someone said, well, if you all are doing it, it can't be that hard. Ugh. What she meant was women of color. So I think that's why people just think, oh, well, the people that are doing it, you know, they're just people of color. They're just members of minoritized group. I mean, literally, she was like, well, it can't be that hard, because it's mostly minoritized people that are doing the work. So of course we should be able to just give us the slides and we can present it.
Wow.
That is the state of this work.
Well, and Shani, I will tell you, so I have a dear friend who works with an organization who shall remain nameless. And he said to me, he's so funny. He's like, Girl, guess what I just heard? I just heard somebody very high in our executive team say, We should not be focused on DEIB work. That was last year. That's last year. Nobody's talking about that right now.
Wow. Wow.
And this is at the very, very highest levels of large organizations. And so when we talk about the importance and why we keep having this conversation, this is why we need to have these conversations. So Marae, I want to come to you and get your voice to, and we've said a lot. So, you know, you can comment on anything that you want to add here.
No, I like the fact that, you know, the process, because when we hear about DEI, we think it's just something about, you know, emotions and passion, and there's nothing technical into it. So it's like every single thing in our life, there is a process, and we need to know exactly to map out this process. And that's what I see is missing. We just go into DEI with all the emotions and all whatever experiences that we've gone through, but we forget to stop and really, you know, map out the process. And like, you know, Shani was saying, what do we want at the end, you know, of all of this, you know, when we start this process, where do we want to be? What do we want to address? What are the key, you know, point that we, you know, we really want to focus on, and really have the clarity on that and evolve, you know, and I think it's gonna actually evolve to something really powerful. But before we do that, it's just gonna be, you know, chaos really, because, you know, as we come, we're just gonna come at it with our, you know, emotion, as we know how emotion can go wild. And it is important to really, you know, stress out that there is a process. It's something that is important. We need to map out this process and understand really the key thing that we really want to accomplish.
Yeah, and that DEI is a practice too, just to follow up on that. It is a practice. Somebody said in the chat, it's not a hobby. It's not a side gig. It's not an afterthought. It is a practice, just like accounting is a practice. Just like leadership development is a practice. Mm-hmm. It is a practice with standards, operation. But people just think, oh, well, it's just something to do to make us feel better about acting like
people. So, right. Absolutely.
And I think that's the message that gets really lost into all of this. You know, it's just, okay, we're just going to put some, you know, key thing that we're going to, you know, tick it, and then that's it, you know. And it's much more than that.
No, I love the discussion and the conversation. I want to just put something out there, and then we're going to do our top two, because we didn't get a chance to do it last week. So we're going to ask our top two question today. But I want to just put this out there. I think one of the things that is important for us to do is to stop pretending everybody's a good person, and that every company is a good person, and that every company wants to do the right thing, and that every company is trying to do the right thing, because none of those things are absolutes. None of those things are given. And I said to a dear friend yesterday, and I'm going to say it here, y'all can quote me on it. People have a right to be awful. They do. Is there a God-given right? They can be awful. I can't stop them from being awful. Where I'm interested in is the company and the team and the leader who is interested in being different, who is interested in evolving culture, who is interested. Because if they're not interested, you are lifting a weight that is impossible for you to lift. So we need to understand who people are. And that question about where are we going, Shani, is so important when you're starting work with your clients, I'm sure. Because if you're not going anywhere, I'm not the person that you need. Right. Like, because I'm about the work. And if you're not, if you're just trying to be performative, then please call somebody else.
Anybody that wants, can you just do one session for an hour, or even one session for 2 hours? Most of my learning and development plans are multi-module plans.
Yep.
Because you are not going to get anything but basic level awareness in one session.
It's the same with my leadership work. Shani, when they come and say, oh, well, we just want a 2-hour leadership session. Great. What's going to happen after that? What do you expect to be different after that? Because I can tell you what's going to be different. Nothing. Right. Nothing is going to change in 1 2-hour session. You cannot change deep-rooted behaviors that have been developed over 20, 30, 40, 50 years in a 2-hour session. Right. So, all right, I'm going to pause right there because otherwise I will never stop. And I want to get to our top two today because I think I got a good one, y'all. All right. So today's top two question, and if you're out there listening in the audience, I want to hear your top two as well. So here's your top two. If you had 25 hours a day, so you've got one extra hour in each day, what are the top two things you can spend it on? So I'm going to give you 30 seconds, 15 seconds to think about that. And we're going to come back right after this. All right. You have been given this gift of one extra hour a day. What are your top two things you would spend it on? Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Okay.
My top two, I would say meditation. Mm. I recently discovered meditation, and it has kept many people from getting, I'll just say that. Meditation. It's probably saved some lives. And the second thing is sitting in a space of gratitude. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not enough time for me to just sit and think, here's what's going well. You know, so those would be two. And I could probably do that from a more intentional space if I had more time to do the meditation.
Mm-hmm. Nice. All right, Shani. That you are interested in keeping people alive, that is always a good thing. So, all right. So, Marae, what's your top two?
First one is sleeping because I need more time to sleep. So it's going to be an additional hour for me. And the second one is really just relax, really, you know, listen to myself, listen to my body, and really understand, you know, how I work, have this, you know, me time for myself.
Awesome. Thank you, Marae. Miss Roz Jones.
You ready?
As well.
Ready.
Just put the eyebrows on.
Uh-oh. She's giving us whiplash.
I got too excited.
That's all right. We got you covered. Let us know when you're ready. Oh, there she is. She's back.
Okay. The very first thing I would do is like Marae, I would sleep. The second thing I would do is I would create a bill to get rid of all those representatives up there in Washington, D.C. and start all over again. And let all women be in.
Speaking of diversity, or not. Or not, right? Or not. All right, so my top two, I would spend more time reading. Mm. I love to read, but typically by the time I sit down to read, I'm so tired, I just go to sleep. So I would love to spend more time reading.
Rest is a common theme here.
Yes. And I would like to spend more time just being. Mm-hmm. I am in a, you know, we are working on expanding and our global leadership development work. And I have gotten into a lot of doing. Mm-hmm. I want to be. I want to just be for a while. So that's what I would spend. All right, we got to catch up on some comments. Thanks. That was fun. Okay, so we've got a long comment here. Yes, people think we just want to come and talk about our lives. I got invited by a tech startup to come talk to a group of clients about diversity and inclusion. When I talked about my fees, they said, oh, just share your experiences. What? I am a professional. Would you invite a lawyer to just talk about their divorce? Oh my goodness. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that, Marae. Darcita said, preach. I'm going to go through these pretty quickly, but I want to get y'all's voices in here. Gerard says, absolutely not. And then Darcita said, 400 years. Exactly. Marie said, exactly. This show is a whole course and it's not even over. It never is. It's ongoing professional and personal development. Absolutely. So we're going to jump forward a little bit. You can, Nicole, you can, Dr. Nicole Rochester, first of all, thank you so much for tuning in. And you can join, you can come back to YouTube at any given time and view this replay. So thank you so much for tuning in. So Gerard's top two, workout and meditation. Oh, if I had a third one, Gerard, it probably would have been working out, but I only had two. So Christopher said his top two is meditation and eating lasagna. What?
Looks like we need a meditation circle.
That is hilarious. And then Kristen said, going for more ice cream and gratitude too. Oh my goodness, you guys are amazing. Sleep and be alone doing anything but alone. I absolutely love this discussion. It is time for us to wrap up. Let's go to our What's in Your Cup. We're going to do a round table and say, what are the final takeaways? Danny, when we come to you, we're going to ask you, what do you hope people walk away from this conversation with? And then I'll also ask you how people can connect with you to learn more about the work that you're doing. So if you're out there listening, please share with us, what did we put in your cup today? What's the one thing that you want to, that you're taking away from this lively, fun, but hopefully insightful discussion? And we'll get started. And wait, let's do our coffee picture first. All right, got it. And we will come back and start our wrap up right after this. All righty. So I'm going to exhale and we're going to start with you, Ms. Roz Jones. What did we put in your cup today?
I learned three things. Number one, delusions of the awareness. The process is the product. And someone in the audience says, practice with a standard. So that's what I'm taking away.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Roz.
Yeah, I had the practice with standard and really, you know, understanding the process. And I like the equation as well. You know, the being, we precede the doing. And that's a very, very important thing as we talk about DEI. And we don't always, you know, grab this, you know, and that's really the key thing for me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Murray. Shani, what do you hope people walk away from this conversation with? And then how can they learn more about the work you're doing or get in touch?
Sure. I would say, and I'm glad that those are the takeaways that you all have. But the one thing I would say is submit yourself to this work. Mm-hmm. It is about submitting yourself to the process of intrapersonal, interpersonal, and organizational reflection, thus the being, and change, thus the doing. It does not happen quickly. It cannot happen with people that just have passion without proficiency. And so that's what I want people to get out of that. And in terms of how they can contact me, I'm on LinkedIn under Shani Delamore Barracks. And I also, my website is aurorachangeagency.com. I'm mainly on LinkedIn. I haven't really, you know, I don't really do a whole lot of social media, but I need to get there. But those are the two places you can find me. And my email address is really simple, shani@aurorachangeagency.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Shani. It's been such an incredible pleasure having you here. So fun, laughs all around, all of that. So I will tell you also, Shani and I were doing some networking and we got on a call and we met and I was like, okay, you have to come on the show. I've got to have you on the show. I don't know who I got, a bump or a move or whatever. No, but I'm like, I absolutely had. So thank you so much for joining us. Let's do a quick round table as we wrap out here and see. Let's see. Joan said, love the discussion on cognitive dissonance. Thank you so much for tuning in. Gerard said, look, all the emotional labor we all need meditation. Regina missed the show. We'll check out the replay. And Gerard said, The process is the product. I absolutely love that too. Mom said the two takeaway things for me are encouraging spirituality and togetherness of all races. No man is an island. Marie said, thank you, everyone. Insightful and validating. And Kristen said, I love coffee with Rhonda. Thank you so much. So kind. Gerard says, Shani, was that a Sigma Gamma? Oh, roll call.
It sure is. What you know about that, Gerard?
Said, thank you so much for sharing. And then John said, thank you all so much. Riveting. All right. So my final thought and my last drop for today is this. The world is becoming, and let me take the comment off. Okay. The world is becoming more diverse, not less. Companies prepared for the future will foster cultures where everyone feels seen, heard, and valued. That's not going to happen by accident. That's going to take work. And in order for us to get there, we've got to commit, invest, and be prepared for the journey. So that's it for us. That will wrap it up for today. Thank you all for tuning in. Such a fun conversation. See, when you all comment, it powers our discussion. We love you so much for that. Thank you for everyone who's here and stopped by. We hope we've helped you just a little bit learn to lead above the grind. For my co-host and my guest, stay tuned for just a minute. For everyone else out there, we'll see you back here next week. Same time, same station, as we come back for another episode of the Coffee with Rhonda Show. Until then, take good care, everybody.